Hi, this is the Social Jello with Angelo show. My name's Angelo. I'm a social scientist, surfer, martial artist, and a whole lot of other things. Coming to you live from Kasai City, Japan, the Social Jello with Angelo show.
What's up? And welcome to another episode of Social Jello with Angelo podcast. This episode is brought to you by ThePit.tv. Check out The Pit for training with UFC coach John Hackelman at The Pit Online Dojo. No promo code necessary. Just jump on in there and train with a UFC coach for under 20 bucks a month. You can check out the whole program with no promo code. Check it out at ThePit.tv. So this episode is titled, How Do You Switch from Karate to MMA? In order to discuss this, I had to bring in the expert. And the expert would be Bobby Cerriono, the third.
Junior.
Okay. Bobby Cerriono Jr., who's come out of the Bay Area, who is right now, he's an MMA coach. He's coached fighters in the pro circuit from Bellator to many other promotions. I'm not even going to go down the list. He can go down the list in a bit. But he's legit. And what makes Bobby very unique is, or maybe not, maybe some of you are saying he's not unique. I'm just like Bobby. Okay, cool. Hit me up. I'll bring you on the show. I'll have a panel with you. But right now, Bobby is the number one expert that I can think of. So he trains folks who do sport karate and then transfer over into MMA, into the cage, right? And this is an interesting topic because a lot of people feel that karate's kind of falling out. You know, it's not really the primary sport that people transfer from into MMA. Right now, primarily, it's a lot of Brazilian jiu-jitsu and kickboxing. That's like the two that really stand out, and wrestling to some degree. So those are like the three that really stand out. So people kind of look at sport karate as, nah, UFC wouldn't decided that karate guys don't matter. Now, that's not true. So I guess there's a lot to tackle there. Let's start with the first question being, Bobby, how do you switch? Well, we'll stick to the topic for people who tuned in for this. Those karate guys that tuned into this, how do you switch from karate to MMA? If you have a karate guy who's watching this right now, will probably click this and put up with me for a minute for the introduction, 2 minutes, to not lose them. What's your recommendation if they want to make that switch from sport karate to MMA?
Well, first off, Angelo, thanks again, man, for having me on your podcast. I'm by no means any expert. You know, I'm just an individual who loves to compete. And when I enter something, I love to do my best, whether I'm competing or coaching. But, you know, I'm one of the few guys who have moved sport karate into the MMA. There's not that many. Probably can count on my hand. Right. First off, I mean, you can't just move karate into MMA, right? Just like you said, there's many steps to that to take. And for us, for a long time, like point fighters or sport karate fighters, they all got a bad rap. But in my head, I've always looked at it as it is a tool to use to where I need to get to. And if you look back, with like my son, like all my fighters are homegrown. I've had them since they were 6, 8 years old. So we went through the whole track. And for any karate guy that's trying to look or entertaining the idea of trying to get on some regional scenes and dabble in MMA, you know, the first thing I would say is you need to get out there and compete, right? For us in sport karate, my guys have maybe over almost 1,000 fights, right? And that pays dividends, especially when you're decent or you're good or you're at an elite level. You know, and that goes into your fight game, right? Because you're a lot more comfortable. A lot of karate guys, they either don't enter point karate tournaments because they don't like it, or they don't enter traditional karate tournaments where it's just like the red and the blue gloves, like Machida, right? And Machida was like one of the elite guys who did that. And then we have Wonderboy Thompson and Raymond Daniels and MVP who did the sport karate that we did, because they're a little bit younger than me, you know, but we all know each other. So I would suggest, first off, competing. Always competing, right? You know, and learning some type of ground. right? For us, I learned a long time ago, as many sport karate champion, world champions we have, that's not going to get us a scholarship. And that's where wrestling came in, because I love wrestling. And that's how we kind of just moved with sport karate and wrestling. And then we had a great base going into MMA. So it's I see a lot of karate people trying to do MMA, and they do really good standing up, you know, decent, until they get taken down, right? And that's the caveat of we can make you a white belt again, because you don't know anything on the ground, whether you're a wrestler or a jiu-jitsu practitioner, right? I think if they're going to do that, they have to first get a lot of matches in with your karate, you know, and travel, get some high level stuff, and get a great wrestling coach, not a jiu-jitsu coach. Unless, you know, if you don't have no jiu-jitsu or wrestling, I say get a wrestling coach, only because learning how to sprawl, take down defense, right, head, hands, hip, you know, is one of the first things that you kind of learn when it comes to wrestling. And I think that would be a great start for somebody that's entertaining the idea to go to MMA.
So let's create a clear map for these guys that are here for that. How many years of karate? We'll assume the person watching this isn't a child. They usually aren't. Right. And if they are, well, make sure your parents know you're watching this. It's for adults. Yes. I didn't put for adults. I clicked for adults on the YouTube thing. I will say that as a disclaimer. So let's say I'm assuming you're an adult watching this and you're doing karate. You've been doing karate for a while. How many years of sport karate would you say, when should you introduce to wrestling? Within a year or two? We'll just assume this person.
As soon as possible.
As soon as possible. All right.
Wrestling as soon as possible.
All right.
You know, and don't jump the gun, right? You know, I always looked at martial arts and wrestling very similar for us, you know, as far as cutting our opponent in half and whatnot. But it's the drilling. It's monotonous drilling, day in, day out. You know, for me, like, prime example, I look at everything as a kata. Whether you're jab, cross, hook, and then you evolve into a kick to a takedown, you know, I believe, like, our self-defense is kind of outdated, you know, because we're not training for a guy that's in 1947, right? That's our self-defense. But at least for me, the katas helps our young children to teenagers to learn and how to move, and then I can explain that, how that goes. Or boxing, or, you know, so I look at everything as a kata until we can go live with it. But as soon as they can start wrestling, you know, or like what I've done, I love Muay Thai, but what I've done with Muay Thai is help Muay Thai and boxing complement our karate style, because that's what got us to the show, is understanding distance, angles, cutting our opponents in half, fakes, feints, and having that ability to catch our breath while we're bouncing. You know, so like our sister schools we have is one of the top Muay Thai schools is Resistance Center with my nephew Eddie Apple Solo. We train over there. And then, of course, our jiu-jitsu, like I mentioned last time with Dave Terrell, you know, one of Cesar Gracie's first black belts, you know. So then I surround our gym with people or gyms that I can give to knowledge to, and they can give back to us, and we all have the same common goal. But yeah, if it's just a karate guy, I say try to get a really decent, if not even a high school, high level high school wrestler. They're studs, you know. There's a lot of studs out there, man, and they're beating D1 guys, you know, to teach you the basic stuff of wrestling. You know, BJ Penn always says, learn the basics and make them advanced basics, and then shove it down your throat. Right. So I kind of use that, you know. We never forget about our sport karate, you know, because a lot of our sport karate family is not Kaju. They're from all over the place, you know, but the karate guys, they want to learn. They need to get in. And like Ross Levine, he was a karate combat champion. And I've known the kid since he was 15, you know, and now he's a doctor in sports medicine, and he's a 2-time karate combat champion. And he'll also say, go get some kickboxing matches in. Go get a lot of matches in, you know, to learn, you know, not just stuff. And anybody can get in a red zone and just throw punches and kick, right? But to set up, you know, and it's just a process to do that. And, you know, you have to trust your coach, not just put you and feed you to the wolves, but, you know, so to help you out and grow in the sport.
So if I'm hearing you clearly here, get if you're that karate guy, the first thing you want to do is get yourself a wrestling coach. And you also mentioned it doesn't have to be, you know, if you're just, and I always like to talk about the average Joe. I mean, if you have access to the best, you know, Olympic wrestling coaches out there, then hey, then you're already good to go.
Absolutely.
But,
yeah.
But if you're looking at this YouTube channel and you're watching this YouTube video, I'm guessing you don't. I'm gonna make a quick guess that you probably don't. So there was a really good suggestion you made. You don't have to go to the top. You can find a nice high school wrestler or someone who wrestled well in high school, who's coaching in high school, and you can step off that way. And I'll personalize it. And that's kind of like where I came from. Like, my wrestling coach wasn't an Olympic wrestling coach. He was a high school wrestling coach, and right. He brought in his wrestling guys into our Kaja Kembo school. And if you don't know what Kaja Kembo is, at the end of this video, what is Kaja Kembo? Link is there for you, where USC coach John Hackelman talks about that, along with some other people in there in the Kaja Kembo community. But yeah, it was a high school wrestling coach, and it was kind of mind jarring for me to go from this. You know, I wasn't a sport career. Yes, yeah, Kaja Kembo. We're both Kaja Kembo guys. I don't want to go too far into this because I know people watching are like, what he's talking about. We're not just karate. So there's a ground and pound element going on. By the time I came in, I already knew how to do some grappling, but the wrestling was different, right? When they took out all the strikes and said, hey, this guy's going to go for something called a single leg. What's a single leg? Someone's going to go for a double leg. What's a double leg? They're going for a high C. What's a high C? There's like these terms that come in, the sprawling. And it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't this long. It might be daunting to a karate guy to think. It definitely, jujitsu is daunting. You go into jujitsu, you're like, all right, you got to learn guard. You got to learn close guard, half guard. Now I got the new guard, spider guard, inverted, boom, bomb, bombastic guard. Like, this is just like, that sport's evolving so fast, right?
Right, right,
but,
right.
But wrestling, like, to the argument of wrestling, it is pretty straightforward and simple, not simplistic. I'm going to make a very distinction here between simple and simplistic. Sir. It's simple because we are going to have a sprawl, a double leg, or a tackle, for those of you that don't know these terms. But there's only going to be like three or four terms. There's not going to be a bunch of terms. There's going to be like three or four basic terms. But like you said, you're going to be repeating those over and over and over and over and over and over. And you have to learn how to grind, and you got to embrace the grind and really fall in love with doing the same thing over and over again. A boxer does not ever get sick of throwing that jab straight, and you better embrace the same drills. Now, so wrestling, got that out of the way. Now you're building your map. We already told you, if you're following this far, get yourself a wrestling coach. Doesn't have to be the best one, not top one, but a wrestling coach who knows what they're doing. So you got your wrestling, got your karate. When they start doing their wrestling, should they start trying to compete at open wrestling tournaments? Or should they just keep training in that, and then what's their next step?
Well, I think if they go to open wrestling tournaments as an adult, they're going to get smashed. There's just nothing but studs in there, right? They're just completely studs. And if you're an adult that never wrestled, you're missing all the junior high school and the high school grinding that they do, or getting into JUCO or regular college. Man, these guys train so hard. They're just different animals. Like, really, they're just different animals. So I would suggest befriend whoever your coaches is and try to get some really good wrestlers in to get you to that level, to bring that dog on you. Because a lot of these wrestlers, they're the dogs. You go down to Terrence Crawford, real time, but he's a state champion wrestler. You know, he's a dog. I mean, everybody that you know that's a high-level wrestler is a dog. And so you got to get a team of wrestlers that can come down and just put it on you, like make you kind of hate life, right? It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you're decent or getting on top of that, because you have a short time as an adult, we have to get some jiu-jitsu in. Mm-hmm. right? We have to get these guys to okay, well, if you're shooting a snatch single and your head is on the outside, don't keep your head down. We have to put it up, right? We have to do simple things because jiu-jitsu guys, now they're crafty. They're going to go for them necks. They're going to go for them joints. They're going to go for the things that they know that wrestlers like to do is out of forward pressure, right? So you're going to play on top of that. So now you got to get a jiu-jitsu coach, and then at the same time, I know it seems like a lot, but it's not a lot if you love it and you have a passion to do it.
And I want to say again, remember, you tuned into this because you wanted to know how to go from karate to MMA. So don't lose sight of that goal. You said you wanted to do MMA. Well, then prepare yourself to do MMA. Have that same dedication you had for your sport karate. Use that laser focus you learned and start applying it to MMA would be my advice right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is coming from a coach and fighters that are featherweights and below. Now, if we have welterweights and above, maybe Mr. Hackleman can speak more on that, because having a heavyweight coach and teaching a lightweight is totally different, right? It's like me having a heavyweight boxing coach coming in trying to teach my son. Well, he doesn't know how to move that way. He probably can tell you, but he doesn't really know how to move that way.
But even right? I can say, even right there, what I can say from shameless plug for the podcast I do with John Hackleman, UFC coach John Hackleman, every week for the Live Clean, Fight Dirty podcast that he has. Even for the heavier guys, he says the same thing. Sprawls, sprawls, sprawls. He starts bringing in wrestling right away. Wrestling is there. It's as one of the four first in the same order you just mentioned it. Strong striking already, because we already have that karate base. But the next thing he's going to say is wrestling before jiu-jitsu. Yeah. And then,
I mean,
of
look
course,
at Chuck Liddell, right?
Yeah. Wrestling.
Example.
Wrestling.
Yeah, great striking, and he was a decent wrestler. He didn't have nothing else. He had fire in both hands.
Yeah.
And he knew how to sprawl and defend takedowns.
And the funny thing is, what people don't know, he actually had a lot of wrestling behind him.
Yeah.
And John recently said on one of the last podcasts we did, when towards the end of his career, Hackleman was like, hey, you can start leaning into that wrestling to eke out a few more years, because you don't take as many strikes when you start going in for the clinch. But like you said, he didn't want to let go of these. He didn't want to let go of these. He already had these.
Right.
He's like, if I can't use these, I don't want to be. My fans love these. I love these. And if it's not going to be these, then I'm done.
But if you have like a great skill set, look at Wonderboy Thompson. He made it all the way up to 2-3 title shots. Just all the sport karate alone. Of course, he befriended Chris Weidman, which won't be fighting tonight because his opponent fell out. But just all the sidekicks and blitzes. Like, if you're a karate guy, I hate to say this, but you have to be elite. You have to be up there. And the only way you can get there, I tell all my kids and all the parents, competition. Competition is going to make us better. We took 13, 15 kids to the Jiu-Jitsu World Tournament, competition, wrestling tournaments, karate tournaments. And coaches have to go too, because anybody can coach an adult, but try coaching 5-year-olds, 7 years old, making them champions. That's going to make you a whole lot better, because you can see a lot and you're going to learn a lot from them, right? So you have to be, otherwise you're just going to be relevant and just be a body, and I hate to say that, you're going to be body, but if you're going to go into this, you have to go into it with the mindset that, okay, I'm already behind.
Well, you got to tell them. You don't have to feel bad. Yeah. You got to tell them. If they're tuning into this, and then you're watching this right now, you need to hear this. This is why you tuned into this, right?
Yeah, so, coaches, they have to be honest with their fighters instead of gas them up and make them feel like they can do anything. That's granted. But realistically, like, these 4-ounce gloves and you're going into these MMA fights, and even if it's just regional, you know this, they trying to hurt you, man, and it's small gloves.
And you don't know, even regional. Look, when I fought, I never fought professionally. I only fought with smokers and a few small regionals. And one of the guys that I lost to ended up moving on to the UFC. So you don't know who's gonna be there. You shouldn't go in with the mindset of, well, it's gonna be a bunch of beginners like me. And if you really are gonna get into this, you put it in your head that you are going in to go for the top, and you should be practicing like that. You should have that mindset. Otherwise, like you said, you're just gonna be another body. So
Yeah, the mindset.
how soon? So you recommended, hey, careful with wrestling as far as competing, because if you go into the wrestling world and you're a karate guy, you're already going to be miserable in practice. You're definitely not going to enjoy the competition end of that. But you did mention Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
So how soon, obviously, we've already said do it all as soon as possible. Like don't wait. So get yourself a wrestling coach. Get yourself a Brazilian jiu-jitsu coach or join a Brazilian jiu-jitsu program. Once they're in that Brazilian jiu-jitsu program, since they're not going to be competing in wrestling, how soon would you recommend they start competing in Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
Well, I think I have to leave that up to the coaches, but for me at least, because they want to be a fighter, I would see, I would just see how the progression would be, whether it's a year. Some of them are studs. They pick things up fast. Some of them are slow like me. I gotta keep going at it, right? And then put them in no gi, because, obviously in jiu-jitsu, it's, or in MMA, it's no gi. And in the white belt division, yeah, sometimes you got a 10-year white belt or whatnot, but these guys are pretty good. Like I've been to a lot of jiu-jitsu tournaments, and they can tell when someone's a fish and brand new, a cheeseburger. They're just not at that level, and most jiu-jitsu black belts and instructors or coaches, they can see that as well, right? So they're not going to just go out there and just hammer somebody. But I see it. I think I have to leave that up to the coach. For me, it depends on the progression. If they're getting better, then yeah.
So just to give them, not to put pressure on some other person's coach, but you should. I mean, it's up to you're the expert today. Even
Yeah.
though you said you weren't, you're today's expert. We'll say it that way. In your opinion, about a year?
I say yeah,
Okay.
absolutely.
All
Or,
right.
for jiu-jitsu, geez, maybe even 6 months.
Okay. 6 months
Yeah,
to a year.
because I've been in jiu-jitsu tournaments, and yeah, there's some studs in the white belt division, but for the most part, I haven't really seen too many, knock on some wood, anything that bad. I've seen some freak accidents. I've seen a lot more accidents during wrestling, everything. But for jiu-jitsu, I learned to really love that art, because of the fact that 55-year-olds can do it, and have fun, but there's just it's just a beautiful art, just like everything else that encompasses getting ready for an MMA event. You really have to love the art, and you can't down not one thing. Even Taekwondo guys, I love their legs. I love you have to have a lot of stamina and be in shape to throw those type of kicks with those type of power. So I just love, I'm a student, always a student of everything we have to do. But for karate guys, we have to up our competition. We have to get a wrestling coach. We have to get a good jiu-jitsu coach. And if you don't have all that stuff in-house, please run this by your regular coach, right? By your regular instructor, right? And have that path, talk it with them. Just don't go out, say, I'm going the Gracie Bajas and training down there, right? Without telling your coach. Still always have that martial arts respect. I think that's very, very important.
And the guy I have in mind, the kind of person I have in mind that comes across these kind of YouTube videos, most likely, especially if they're still listening at this point, maybe they're just one of those people that lives in a small town, right? And there's not a lot of access to a lot of things, which is why they're considering it, but they don't know where to start, and they're trying to figure that out, right? That's cool. I'm kind of, but maybe you are, like you said, if you could do, you already are in some sort of MMA program, but yeah, definitely run it by your coach. So let me check my checklist here. So far, get a wrestling coach. Start wrestling. We already talked about who that wrestling coach can be. Next, start a BJJ program, whether it's in-house or in another place. Make sure you run this by all your coaches. 6 months to a year, start competing in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So far, if I follow this timeline correctly, and you did the first step of competing vigorously in karate, so you won a few point sparring tournaments and championships, and now after honing in your karate, we're assuming you're that guy. You've jumped in, you got your Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu coach. Now, because we said this is an older guy, I'm assuming this is an older guy. This isn't some kid listening to it. So they've probably already done step one. They're a year in. Now what? They're a year in. They did some Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Maybe they even won a few white belt division tournaments. Next, what's next?
Next, obviously, during all that time, there also has a Muay Thai or boxing coach, right? Because the thing with karate and sport karate is that, how do I say this? Teaching my guys to sit down on their punches and their kicks instead of getting from point A to point B and hit them, tagging them fast. Now I had to understand how to make that the transition into more of a full contact, you know. But during sport karate days, we did a lot of things called continuous fighting, and they would fight continuously for 2 minutes, you know. And I think that helped my son, my nephews, everyone out a lot from that standpoint. But you know, get a boxing coach, you know, that can teach you how to sit down in that red zone in that box, you know. You know, obviously you're gonna work on the outside because most karate guys work on the outside. But when you do get on the inside, you're gonna need to know how to sit down on your punches, and you're gonna have to need to know how to move your head offline, or you know that can set up your takedowns or whatnot.
You know, you said boxing or kickboxing, or do you want to split these two and say get ideally one of each?
I would say boxing because you already have the karate and you have that, or a great Muay Thai coach. They, you know, obviously in amateurs, you can't throw elbows or whatnot, but they have a lot of great inside fighting with the clinching, with the moving, with knees as an amateur is legal to the body. You know, I think that would for us, that's what I kind of did, you know, was that's the same exact path. We went karate, we went, of course, for karate, then we went wrestling, and then we got called by Bellator, and then I took my son down to Dave Terrell, and man, he was getting tapped out left on left, right, wherever, until we got that done, and then I met my nephew, and then we started doing the Muay Thai. So have a great Muay Thai coach or a boxing coach that can teach you the inside fighting, you know. And then the most important thing is when you're an amateur to pick the right fights. Have the coach pick the right fights for you.
Well, that's a tough one. find the right coach who cares about you enough to get you the right
word,
fights.
Care about you, right?
yeah. That's because again, if you're lucky enough that you had this in house, then you have someone who cares about you. They've cared about you for a long time, which got you to where you are right now.
Yeah.
But when you start bringing in outside sources, you're kind of building networks and relationships kind of quickly. So you're not already what we just talked about, right? This is all happening within a year.
Yeah.
But it really is going to depend on a lot of factors here that I don't have the time to discuss on this episode.
Right. Exactly.
So we're just going to assume that you found some good people, and I'll have to make another podcast. Oh man, you keep an idea how to spot a good coach, how to tell that you have a good coach. It would be an awesome other podcast that I'll cover on another day.
But what the great thing about this podcast today is that anyone that's listening and that wants to pursue this, they can always DM you. And you'll always point them to the right direction. Yeah. If not, you can point them to myself or Mr. Hackelman. If we don't have the answers, we can get the answers. And that's what you said about networking.
Yep.
Right? And paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because sometimes, you know, I see a lot of students, sometimes they leave their original instructor because sometimes not everybody's a nice person, you know, or a nice coach, or they're just taking money off the back on ticket sales. I mean, there's a lot of shit that goes in.
Yeah. And
you're smiling because you know.
Yeah. No.
Right?
Yeah. It gets really foggy after.
It does.
So far we like those are the we're talking to the karate guy.
I'm
once
sorry,
again.
I didn't mean to go into
the, no. Yeah. No. We're getting there. We're getting there. And I was like, you know, so far we're like we haven't even gotten to the business. The poor guy just got done getting a good boxing coach. So then. My next question, this guy, so we went through our checklist. Now you got a boxing coach, a good Muay Thai coach. Maybe it's two people. Maybe it's the same person. When do you recommend they start doing full contact or should not? I don't know. When do you recommend that they start doing, we're not even going to say go into full contact. When do you start recommending them to do a kickboxing match? When would you recommend that?
Well, since they're karate guys, they can do it immediately because you don't have to worry about the takedowns or the cleansing or jiu-jitsu. It's just stand up.
All right.
So you can get in there because everything changes once you get punched in the face. Once you get kicked in the leg, it just kind of changes you, you know? So getting used to that atmosphere of the bright lights and just one-on-one, that's why it's so important to get a lot of these matches out. Like, for instance, for wrestling, you know, a lot of our wrestlers, when before the season starts, in the off-season, they have to get minimum 30 to 40 matches in before the season starts, right? It's all year progress. So just like we're getting ready for MMA match, you know, all these matches, whether it's karate, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, they all come into play. And hopefully your head coach can put it together and understand, you know, because you can't have all the coaches in your corner, right? They have to be with you too to get that vision. You know, they may not be jiu-jitsu guys. They may not be wrestlers. They may just be karate.
I mean,
but they have to do their due diligence to learn.
And not to jump ahead to that, that business element or tournament. Once you're at that first MMA match, I think your first few smokers are only going to allow one, maybe two people.
Yeah, one person
in your corner. Most places just one. Most places just one. If you're lucky, you can convince them to sneak in one more guy as a towel water guy. You go, oh, that's my towel water guy. That's your other coach, but he's our towel water guy.
The smokers, they're not legal. I mean they're kind of legal, but they're not, you know.
It's a smoker.
Make him sign that waiver, you know.
Oh man, I'll never forget. Okay, I'm gonna try to keep this fun story short. I'll never forget the smoker I went to Japan in, where I'm telling my guy, hey man, it's okay. This is just a smoker. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning. So just kind of, because he's got the nerves going. And he had a wrestling background. He was he's a prefectural state champion. So he's a state. He's in Japan.
He's a prefecture
state. He's good at wrestling. Yeah. Yeah. But he's kind of freaking out before his first fight because he's watching these guys in this tiny little ring beating the shit out of each other. And I'm telling him, hey man, don't worry. They keep things safe here. Everything's good. The guy, I hear a crack, and I see the guy, boom, onto the canvas. And then the ambulance comes in, and they had paramedics on standby, and they pulled this guy out of the stretcher. And I'm like, that's really rare. That hardly ever happens. And I'm like,
holy cow! This is a smoker.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It was the first time I ever seen that happen, but I was just like, oh man, like, well, I'm in the middle of my it's okay, we're gonna keep you safe speech. That happens right behind me. I'm like, I didn't even know like how to, I'm like, okay, you know, that hardly happens. Don't worry, that's not gonna be you. You are a stud, you are a wrestling champion. That guy's on another level. That guy's not you. He did good, he didn't get hurt.
But
that was, I'll never forget that, man. That was just such a, like,
it's so tough being a coach, even, you know, whether you're coaching kids, you know, a novice tournament or anything, you know, if you're a great coach, it affects you. Everything affects you with your fighters or your athletes that are out there competing, or like how you said, you're trying to prepare them, so you're trying to remove any doubt because doubt kills more dreams than fear does. It's okay to have that fear, but now if you start doubting yourself, you might become a step slower, right? And doing what you just did and helping them win, that's part of coaching. That's part of winning.
So we have this. They can start kickboxing right away. Probably should. Okay, so now when we're looking at our priority list, get all those coaches, but you can start kickboxing right away.
Yeah, kickboxing right away. Muay Thai.
You can start that up right away. So now, assuming they started kickboxing right away, they 6 months to a year started doing some jiu-jitsu stuff, winning some tournaments. They got their wrestling coaches. Things are going smoothly. We won't go into things going badly. Things are going smoothly. When, from the beginning to the end of this little journey, can they take on their first MMA fight?
Man, I put guys in 1 year.
Okay.
But I always tell them, I will never put you up to fail. I always do my best to put you up to win, right? And, you know, you hear that, it's not losing, it's learning. Fuck that, it's a loss.
Losing sucks. Losing sucks.
Yeah. I hate losing more than I even think about winning.
Yeah.
It just fucking sucks.
There's
right?
no way around that, no.
There's just no around. But, you know, and then if they're ready in about a year, I make sure we get the right guy. You know, we don't want some guy in there that's just going to mollywop our dude. Somebody who has the same experience, maybe possibly opposite. One's a wrestler or one's a fighter, but they're both stand-up guys. You know, because at the end of the day, with these smokers or with these tournaments, my personal opinion is we're trying to grow these athletes or the sport. You know, we're trying to grow MMA. And we can't do that. We're just hurting everybody at the bottom level, right? So if we're growing these guys and getting them better, then we're not skipping steps. Because everybody wants to be a champion and get that. But a lot of people don't understand the hard work and the grind in between. You know, the injuries, getting sick, the amount of money you spend on food and supplements, cutting weight, you know, just everything. And then the people that around you. You know, whoever's listening, I don't want to make it seem like it's a lot, but it takes some dedication.
But it's a lot. I mean, come on. You should know it is a lot.
Yeah.
What you're asking for is a lot, and you obviously tuned into this podcast because you're serious about it. And because of that, why baby you and say it's not a lot to do? We're not trying to deter you away from wanting to accomplish your goal.
Right.
But if you have this goal, you should know it is a lot.
Right.
It is a lot. And not in a bad way. Hey, karate is a lot for a normal person who never did karate. You never done anything, you're in an office job.
Be.
You're just sitting there typing on your computer, and then one day you go into your first karate place and people are punching and kicking each other. You never punched anyone in your life. That's a lot. So you already got over that. You already got over that. What's the difference, right? It's only a little more. So within a year, if you did things right, in the middle of all this, we were assuming that they had an MMA coach. One of those people that they picked would be an MMA coach. And that brings us almost to our final question. If you've been putting this together by yourself, which a lot of guys do, I did, I wouldn't recommend it. It fucking sucked. I did it myself, and man, like now I'm 42 and I finally know Bobby and John at the end of everything after I retire. I'm like, man, fuck, if I would have known these guys when I was younger, it would have taken away a lot of the headaches. So I'll tell you, as someone who did things everything the wrong way, is I really hope you got yourself a good MMA coach. Because piecing it together is hard. You can piece it together, but a good MMA coach will not only help you find all those people we just mentioned, but what would your recommendation be then? When should they look for that MMA coach?
Well, it depends, right? Like for me, I kind of learned on the fly. I just knew what we were good at, and I knew what not to do or the trouble not to get in, right? So if you should already have a coach, a head coach, if it's not your dojo coach and he doesn't want to take the interest in doing that, but you still want to do karate, then you have to find a good MMA guy or coach that's willing to put all these ingredients together, right? So we can make a finished product, you know, because like for me, I didn't know he was going to do MMA. I just knew we were great at sport karate. We made a name for us in sport karate in California and across the nation. And then wrestling, you know. And then my son said, you know, instead of go wrestle at a bigger college, he said he wanted to do MMA. Right? And then that's where my homework began. And that's where I knew I had to stick to what we were great at. And then the things that I wasn't good at as a coach, I had to make myself. And to this day, since 2008 or 2007, I always study. I'm always on YouTube. Because like you said, if you're in a small town, there's not a lot going on over there. But what there is that's going on there, most small towns have great football and great wrestling. Right? And you can get that done, right? Because a lot of these guys in wrestling, they're coming over to MMA because – you know, that's one of the main most, for me at least, is one of the most important things in MMA to learn, you know, so a lot of those guys, and unfortunately right now, there's not a lot of avenues for karate, sport karate guys to go into, for kickboxing. You know, their IKF is, I don't think there's too much IKF over here. It's back east, and then now you got the karate combat to where they can do a little bit more full contact. You know, so there's not that many avenues in Muay Thai tournaments. You know, there's not that, they're not getting, my personal opinion, they're not getting to pay that big coin because they take a lot of punishment, bro. Let's be honest. You know, I think one is paying the best for Muay Thai and stuff like that. But, you know, it's you have to do your homework and you have to want to get to, you have to want to do great, you know, and find great people. And I know people who travel 2-3 hours just to go train. You know, you do some documentaries on some of these MMA guys, you know, 48, all those guys, they make sacrifices.
Yeah.
You know, they, I think the key word, and we haven't learned that just yet, is investing in ourselves.
Yeah. Right? Michael Bisping talking about like 2-3 hour drives. Two, three hour drives. Cause he was in a small town in the UK and
right.
The nearest kickboxing place, MMA place, was 2-3 hours away. So
So it's tough, you know. You have to, you know, don't give yourself no excuses to go out there and learn, you know. And if your home coach doesn't want to do that with you, then you have to find somebody else. But don't negate what got you there. If it's karate, whatever karate it is, it could be any decent fucking karate, it doesn't matter. But don't leave them behind because they got you started. But your dreams is a little bit bigger now and what you want to do. And, you know, communication is key with all your coaches, you know. And yeah, if you, and that's the key. You know, you have to find some good coaches out there who kind of care, you know.
All right. And this goes back to a different podcast that we're not going to cover today, is how to find a coach who cares. You say we're not going to go there because we're about to wrap up this one right here. So if you're a karate guy, I really do hope you enjoyed this. If you're not a karate guy and you were just kind of wondering about the process for a karate guy, what I am going to remind you, for those people that are very critical of karate, is most people who decide to pick up martial arts as a child did karate in some shape, way, or form. Even if they go to those MMA places, there's a karate program there for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So you did karate, even though I know there's a lot of hate on karate nowadays online. When you start looking at it, you start looking at some of the big fighters right now, even people that you didn't expect, like Conor McGregor, right? Kid
GSP, Shotokan. Yeah,
like there's a lot of big names out there that when they were kids, they weren't in a cage. Kids karate. If you look at MMA programs right now, big MMA programs, their kids program isn't a bunch of kids shirtless with MMA gloves, it's kids karate. So like it is a really great platform. I still believe it's one of the best platforms for children to learn martial arts. Like I don't know, maybe I'm biased, I guess, but I still think it's a great, especially striking. I can 100% back the statement that I still feel that kids karate programs are the best programs to learn striking as a child in a safe environment that's fun, friendly, family atmosphere. 100% recommend it. And I would have Cerrone say it too, but he's too tied to those programs. I'm too tied to those programs myself, so maybe I should tweet myself and check on that one too.
But no, Bobby, man, you're absolutely right, bro.
Before you go, where can people find you?
Oh, well, I live now in American Canyon in California. It's right next to Vallejo, you know, in the Bay Area. So if you guys are ever in town, hit me up, DM me, you know, and let's get some work in. We're all about family and positive vibes.
Where can they find you on the internet? Instagram, Facebook?
Oh, Instagram. You can find me on Team Cerrone or my son, Humble Warrior. You know, we're on there, or 707 Triumph. You know, that's it. Same thing for Facebook. You know, I'm not on there a lot. You know, we just talked about that, Angelo. You know, I got to grow up and get a little bit more educated on that. But that's where you guys can find me, you know, or hit up my man, Angelo. You know, I think, thank you, Angelo, for providing a great platform for us. I think between myself, even Mr. Hackelman, you know, between the heavyweights and lightweights. And I, you know, tonight, my nephew, Jacob Makalolo, is boxing his 9th match tonight. So go, Jacob. You know, I say my prayer for him, but he's doing do great. Another Kaji Kimbo guy, you know. So thank you so much, Angelo, for allowing me to be part of this, man. Nothing but love.
I always thank you so much for coming out and and sharing all your expertise, even though he's like, I don't know, expert. He's just trying to downplay it. He knows his shit. Well, thank you for checking out Social Jello with Angelo podcast. One of these once a week. Like, share, subscribe with your friends. And as I mentioned earlier, this episode is brought to you by thepit.tv. Check out their website at thepit.tv to check out online training with UFC coach John Hackelman. Catch y'all next time.